Going to be a short series, perhaps two or three sessions or parts to it. This series I'm calling Rejoicing in the Lord. As all of us, most of us should be aware, the last 2 years have been pretty testing times, difficult times for many people with this COVID-19 pandemic and all of the repercussions from it. The mental health professions tell us that there's been an increase in depression, increase in domestic violence. It has been a difficult time. And I think out of that, there's some sort of fatigue that the people of God, many people of God, many of the saints find themselves experiencing. And I believe that the Lord would call us to remember who we are and remember who He is, and to out of that continue to experience His joy and to grow in His joy. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, in Philippians 4 and verse 4, he's writing to them while he's in prison, and he says to them, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And the King James says, "And again I say, rejoice." And we all know that when there's a repetition like that, it's a means of emphasis. And so the word to Paul that Paul had for the Philippians, I think, is a word that God has for His people and for His church, to rejoice in Him. We're not rejoicing in our circumstances. We're not rejoicing in our relationship with others. We're not rejoicing because things are good or whatever. We are rejoicing in the Lord. And that makes a world of a difference in how we then live our lives. And so I just want to encourage us, encourage myself to grow in this call that God has for us to be a people of rejoicing. And so I'm sharing this morning, I'm calling this Pathways to Rejoicing. Pathways to Rejoicing. A few years ago, when we had family camp, one of the speakers used the analogy of the highway, the interstate, to share with us, I think it was a man, to share with us, how we can get out of the flow of God and how we can get back to the flow of God. That the flow of God is like a highway, and we have exit ramps and on-ramps, and if we're not careful, you can be on highway, and before you know it, you're off on an off-ramp, especially at nights. That's the way they build these highways. You can end up, and you're like, "How did I get off the highway?" And you're looking, and you're seeing anybody that's driving on the highway, and you're like, "How do I get back up there?" And so, it's something similar. You're here rejoicing in the Lord, and all these things happen around you, and you go off with the crowd somewhere, and before you know it, you're over here, and you're wondering, "How did I get here? I want to be up there, not over here." And so these pathways are like on-ramps to help us to get back into that place, that flow that we had with the Lord and that the Lord wants us to continue to have. And so it's basically three things. It's looking at the past, looking at the future, looking at the present. It's basically celebrating the past, anticipating the future, and appreciating the presence. Celebrating the past, appreciating the presence, and anticipating the future. So, if we can do that, celebrate the past, anticipate the future, and appreciate the presence, these are the three on-ramps that can take us right back into the flow of God, right back into that place of not just knowing that the joy of the Lord is there, but experiencing that joy of the Lord bubbling up in our own spirits. So I'm going to start first by dealing with celebrating the past, looking at the psalmist David. So turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, a psalm well known to most of us. This psalm was perhaps written a little later in David's life as he was reflecting on things. But it was written at a time when he had to first and foremost speak to himself. And so the psalmist starts with in verse 1 and says, this is the NIV, so it uses the word praise rather than bless, which really means the same thing, praise the Lord. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. So David was at a point where, for some reason, he had to encourage himself. You know, thank God for meetings like this, church meetings like this, where we have others to encourage us. But when we leave here, we have to now encourage ourselves sometimes as we go through the week, as we go through your day, as you experience all this COVID stuff and people lose their loved ones and all sort of things like that. We have to now speak to ourselves. And so the psalmist spoke to himself and said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Nothing in me should be quiet. All that is within me, bless his holy name. And then the psalmist looks at the past as a way to encourage himself. He reminds himself, he says, verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So the psalmist is like, soul, I don't know what's happening with you, but you need to come up higher. You need to come up here and bless the Lord, because he has done so much for me. He says, forget not just some of his benefits, not a few of his benefits, but he says, and forget not all of his benefits. How many know there are benefits to serving the Lord? That there are benefits to walking with the Lord. And so the psalmist is encouraging himself. And this is Old Testament. David doesn't have the infilling of the Spirit as we have him. And yet he could be saying that to himself back in the Old Testament. How much more do you and I need to remind ourselves of the benefits of Almighty God? And so he says, he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. First and foremost, we can remind ourselves of this great salvation that we are into. That as Bud shared, we are saved by grace, not of works. That if it was by works, none of us would be able to make it. If it was something financial, we'll all be doomed. But because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we have been saved. And the truth is, we didn't understand how wonderful this thing was until we actually took that step of faith and accepted Jesus Christ. And so, if you can't find anything to encourage yourself about, encourage yourself about the fact that you know Jesus Christ, that you have been saved, that your sins have been forgiven. Later on, the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our iniquities from us. And so if there are people who should be rejoicing about anything, it should be the people of God. You know, it's amazing. We allow some of the stuff all around us to get us down. And we forget that, you know, I'm saved. I'm born again. In fact, the Spirit of God lives inside of me. Woo! Soul, bless the Lord. Yeah, that's what David was saying. Soul, bless the Lord. And David, we all know the type of life that David lived. You know, he got involved with Bathsheba, killed her husband, all sort of stuff, numbered the people. I know David is like saying, Lord, the God has forgiven me of all of my sins. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgives all of our sins, past, present, and future. And then he goes on and says, and the Lord heals all our diseases. Has anybody here ever experienced the healing of God? I've shared this some time back, but I'll share it again. I have a friend who lives in, he lives in Fort Wayne, Arkansas. He's a cardiologist. And I remember we had him as a speaker at a conference on healing. And he reminded us that, as a cardiologist, as a medical doctor, And I'm sure, you know, others here can tell you the same thing. You know, he can do certain procedures. He can cut things out. He can put stents in and all sort of stuff. But how many of you know if you have surgery and they cut you open and they sew you together, if God doesn't heal that, you're still in trouble. How many of you understand that? That doctors can do their part, but at the end of the day, it is God who still causes our bodies to heal. And so whether you go to the doctor or you get supernatural healing directly from God, the reality is at the bottom line of everything, God is the one who heals us. And so we can say like David, that he heals all of my diseases. He touches my body. He restores it. Some of you are here, you had COVID, and look at you now. He heals all of your diseases. And so that's another reason to give God thanks. Another reason to say to your soul, soul, bless the Lord. You know how good God has been to you? Amen. Bless God. And so David reminds himself that God heals all of his diseases. Then he goes on and says, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. So God, I put here my notes, not only redeems us, but he crowns us, which means he elevates us and pour out his love and compassion upon you and upon me. We're just talking about that this morning. That God is a God of love and how much he loves us. Well, the reality is that he chose to love all of us, his creation. Many of us, when we look at ourselves, we don't really too like ourselves, you know. But thank God that he doesn't deal with us according to my impression of myself. He loves me no matter what because he created me in his very image and likeness and sent his son to redeem me and to redeem you. And he pours out his love and compassion into your life and into my life. And you can look back at your life and you can see it. We sing this song all of my life. He has been good to me. His goodness has followed me all of my life. Even, we all know this, even before we came to Christ. His goodness was there following after us and surrounding us and blessing us. This God who loves us. So David is encouraging himself. And we sometimes have to do the same thing. Then he goes on in verse 5 and says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And so what the psalmist is here saying is that God, we have put desires and God satisfies these desires with good things. Sometimes we don't even realize that he has met these desires because we're expecting it to be met in a particular way, but God does it in a different way, and he does it in a way that is also good for us. You know, this past week with all of the snow and cold, I was thankful that I had a warm place to sleep. Good things. God satisfies my desires with good things. And if we look at our lives, the old time song would say, count your blessings, name them one by one. And we'd see how God has been meeting our needs continually. Verse 6. It says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He intervenes in the lives of those who are oppressed and brings about justice for them. This is what the psalmist is saying. Then he goes on, verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. I mean, that alone is enough for me to be rejoicing. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Man, some people get offended if somebody runs around a building. That's enough for me to run around the block. Yes, he doesn't treat me according to what my sins deserve. That's grace there. You see? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as we remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So the psalmist declares that in verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Again, I'm so thankful that he's slow to anger. Because, man, I've done so many dumb things. I've said so many foolish things about God. I mean, if God was like some of these people driving on the road, in road rage, I'd be gone a long time. But I think, like you, just laugh. I think God sometimes look at me and laugh. And like, there he goes again. Acting as if he understands all things. You know, sometimes we act like Job's friends, like we understand everything. And the Lord, I think, sometimes just say, oh, there they go again. He's slow to anger and abounding in love and mercy. And so again, you and I, we can stand up and we can rejoice and encourage ourselves. And as I was meditating on this, you know, Paul says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And so there is a place, a time for weeping, but even in the weeping, there can be still rejoicing. How many of you understand that? Because if Paul is going to tell me to rejoice always, and he's going to tell me that to weep with those who weep, there must be a way in which even my weeping, I can still be rejoicing. And as I shared last week and shared before, in the space of 12 months, I lost 5 family members, a brother, a sister, 2 nephews, and a sister-in-law. And as I was meditating on this, there's something the Lord brought to my awareness. And he said, Joe, if you would look at the life of your loved one, and of those 5 that passed, the one that had the greatest impact on me was my sister. Twice, she opened her home so my wife and I and us and our children could live with her, each time for a year. Just opened up our house because we need somewhere to live. And the Lord helped me to see that, you know, when these times of grief come, God, they will come. You know, we can't predict how grief is going to hit us and when. They will. But it says, if you learn to celebrate the way in which she impacted your life, it can be turned into a moment of rejoicing. Where I can say, thank you, Lord, for my sister Janetta. Thank you, Lord, that you caused her to be there. Thank you, Lord, you allowed her to invest in my life. And so it now becomes that a moment where I'm like, oh, I wish she was still here. I wish I could call her. Instead of that, it turns into a time of rejoicing because this person, the Lord allowed them to impact my life and to make me who I am. You know, when I started studying at the Assemblies of God Seminary, she called me and she said, what's the cost of the tuition for the program you're in? And I told her, this is the one who has never been married, so you know, she has to take care of herself, no children. And she sent me a check for $10,000 to cover the cost of that program. So I can rejoice and say, Lord, thank you. Because through that, Lord, you allowed her to invest in my life and allowed me to experience and to be exposed to things I would not have been able to be exposed to. And so now for me it becomes a time of celebration. And so even in grieving, if at the right perspective, it can be a time of celebration. We all know the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine those 12 disciples when they're celebrating the Lord's Supper? They're sitting mourning and grieving, and James or John saying, I wish I could still lay on his breast again another time. I really wish I could. And you know, I wish I had taking his words more seriously. I wish I'd used. No, I don't think I did that. But the Lord said, each time you drink of the cup and eat of this bread, you should do it in remembrance of me. And Paul goes on to say in Corinthians that when we do that, we actually declare or proclaim his death until he comes. So there's a way in which the church and early apostles celebrated what Christ did, his suffering and his death, so that it brought victory into their lives. So it became a point of celebrating what God has done in Jesus Christ. And so what I'm saying to us saints is that we need to encourage ourselves when we go through these times, these moments, when the grief comes back, to look at the life of the individual and give God thanks for the way in which He used them to impact our lives. And turn it into a moment of rejoicing. Turn it into a moment of giving God praise and honor and glory. This is not to belittle the struggles that different people have, but I believe it's a key to help us to see that this can be a pathway right back into rejoicing in the Lord. So we want to celebrate the past, what God has done. To look back at the past and to see the hand of God and the goodness of God in our lives. But we also want to anticipate the future by focusing on Jesus and the promises of God. So I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. In the book of Jeremiah is written in a time when God was warning his people is going to take them into captivity, and they actually went into captivity during the time of Jeremiah's ministry. Jeremiah 29 verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So some of them are already in exile. Things are looking bleak. It's a difficult time. The Lord's word to them was, settle down. He says, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens, eat what they produce. Verse 7, he says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So the Lord is like saying, nobody think you're coming out of this too quickly. You're going to be here for a while. Okay? Yes, it's a time of difficulty. We go through sometimes our testings last different periods of time, and sometimes last for a long time. And we can squirm, and we can do all sort of stuff. Or we can say, Lord, how do you want me to respond? And so here the Lord says to them, settle down. In fact, you better pray for the city. But Lord, why would I want to pray for Babylon? That they should prosper. In my human way of thinking, if I'm going to pray, I want to pray that things get hard and difficult so that they send me back home. No, but the Lord is saying, no, you're going to be here for a while. So pray for the prosperity of the city, because if the city prospers, you will prosper. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and will fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. And so here you are, and the Lord is saying you need to anticipate the future. So verse 11, scripture which many of us know. The Lord says to them, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so the Lord is saying, focus on my promises. It's going to take you a while to get through this. And if you focus on my promises, it will make it easier. You'll be able to actually enjoy this time of exile. Focus on my promises, because I have some plans for you. And it's not to harm you. It's to give you a hope and a future, to cause you to prosper. But Joe Campbell, you don't understand how difficult things are with me. Maybe I don't. But I'm saying to you, if you can hear the word of the Lord concerning what's in the future, focus on what's in the future. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 11. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they are. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, the oil, the young of the flocks and the herds. They will be like a well-watered garden. They will sorrow no more. Then the maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old men as well. I will turn their mourning to gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. And so Lord was saying, this is what's going to happen in the future. There'll be a great time of rejoicing, a great time of prosperity, a great time of blessing. Verse 16 of Jeremiah 31. Well, verse 15 of 31. This is what Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. And this is what Lord says. Verse 16. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work will be rewarded, declared the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. And so the Lord is like, this is not a time for weeping. You're going to be here for a while. You're going to go through this time of difficulty. But if you can see my word, if you can receive my word, that there's coming a time of rejoicing down there where your children will be returned to you, you know what? You can actually start to rejoice right now. That's what he says to them. Restrain yourself from weeping. Restrain yourself from worrying about all of this difficulty. And embrace my promise. That's verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded. So embrace my promises. And it will make a difference into how you live your life. You can start to rejoice in anticipation. Oh, help us, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 25. The Lord has a word for Jeremiah himself. Jeremiah 32, 25. And though the city will be handed over to the Babylonians, you, O sovereign Lord, say to me, buy the field with silver and have the transaction witness. This don't make a lick of sense, Lord. If you're going into exile, why would I want to be buying land? Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord God. Of all mankind, is there anything too hard for me? Verse 36. You are saying about the city, by the sword, famine, and plague, it will be handed over to the king of Babylon. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will surely gather them from the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I'll bring them back to this place and let them live safely. They will be my people and I'll be their God. I'll give them singleness of heart and action, so they will always fear me. Verse 41. I'll rejoice in doing good to them. I will assuredly plant them in the land with all my heart and soul. And so the Lord was saying to Jeremiah, listen. Times are difficult, times are hard, but here's my word, buy this land. You know why? Because I'm going to bring back the children. I'm going to bring back those I've taken into exile. Things are going to change around in the future. And as you buy this now, this is like a deposit of what is to come. A breakthrough is coming. Something is going to come in the future. And you can lay hold of that now and start to live your life as if it has already been brought to pass. You can start to rejoice now in anticipation the fulfillment of God's word. It's a pathway to be able to rejoice always. You don't believe me? How do you think Jesus lived his life? Here's what the writer of Hebrews said about Jesus, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is going through his suffering, going through his rejection, going through the mocking and the scorning. What does he do? He focuses on the joy set before him. As I go through this, I'm going to bring many sons to glory. As I go through this, I'm going to make a way for people to come and be reconciled to my Father. Oh, as I go through this, and he was able to experience joy in the midst of the suffering because he laid a hold of what was in the future. That's why Paul can say rejoice always. We don't just live by what's happening now, but we live in anticipating what's going to happen in the future. James says in James chapter 1, James put it this way, and verse 2, consider pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kind. What? But that's what he says. How are you going to do that? Because you know that testing your faith develops patience, and patience must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, you're going through this difficulty and you say, be able to say to yourself, you know what, Joe Campbell, this difficulty in the future, if I go through it in the right way, will help me to become more mature in the Lord. Anticipate in the future. And then it goes on in verse 12 of James chapter 1. And says this. Blessed is the man who perseveres, under trial. So you're under trial and you're going to persevere. Because when he has stood the tests, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So you're going through difficulty and say, you know what? There's a crown of life awaiting me at the end of this. I'm not going to allow these, Paul goes on to say it in Corinthians, these momentary light afflictions to deter me. I'm going to lay hold of the crown of life and walk as if I'm already about to receive it. And so I can start to rejoice. I can start to give God thanks as I anticipate being before him and hear him say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. James is not trivializing the difficulties the people are going through. He's giving them some keys as to how to go through it and still experience the joy of the Lord. How to start to rejoice by saying, oh, this is coming. Glory to God. He's going to bring me through. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help us. In Hebrews chapter 11, in the chapter of faith, it talks about some who went through all sort of hardships, living in caves, being sworn in two. And the writer says, all of these people were able to endure because they were looking for a city. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what they were looking for. And they were like, you can do anything you want to do to this body because you know what? I'm looking for something more. I'm not just living for the now. I'm living for the future. And so, yes, Christ says, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. But you know what? He has overcome. He said to his disciples, you know what? I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and receive you to myself because I want you to be with me. And so we can live this life even anticipating the return of Christ. Anticipating the Lord saying to us, as I said before, well done. Yes, I'm not saying we don't go through difficulties. Yes, hardships will come. But I believe if we keep our focus, our eyes upon the perfecter and the author of our faith, we can live it with joy. We can actually rejoice in the Lord as we go through difficulties. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, they were grieving the loss of their loved ones. And Paul says, yes, you grieve, but we don't grieve like the world grieves. And what's the difference? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, scripture that most of us know, verse 13, he says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Why? Because we believe that Christ died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So even your loved ones, if they are in Christ, you can anticipate, my friends, encountering them again, seeing them again. That's why he's telling them this. And so death is not the end for the believer. And so yes, you might miss the loved one. Yes, you might miss some relative or some friend. But we can live understanding that sometime in the future, I'm going to encounter them again. And so you know what? I'm going to remain faithful right now. I can start to rejoice right now for the grand reunion time. Amen. Your faithfulness during times of difficulties, times of struggle, is very, very important for others. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said this to them in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. He says, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan stopped us." Satan prevented him from coming. But what is our hope, our joy, or the corner in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? In other words, Paul is saying that my labor and my work in your life, when the Lord comes, is going to give me reason to rejoice and to be thankful. And so you know what he says in verse 20, "Indeed, you are our glory and joy." So you know what? In anticipation of that day, I can now start to rejoice in the Lord. Because my impact upon your life is going to have long-term impact, eternal impact. And I will be commended for the way in which I faithfully impact the lives of others. And that's one of the reasons why for you and for me, when I go through hardship and when you go through hardship, we need to go through it with grace that God gives us. We need to go through it with the joy of the Lord, because people are looking at your life, and the way you go through can either encourage them or discourage them. Here, Paul was in prison and he didn't want them to be discouraged by what he was going through. So he actually sent Timothy to find out about them. But it's important, the way you go through, the way I go through, the way I act, can make people say, you know what, this thing is not worth it. Or can make them say, you know what, I'm going to keep pressing on in the Lord. I'm going to keep going through. So we anticipate the future. We celebrate the past. We anticipate the future. And then we learn to appreciate the present. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power is from God and not from us." A scripture which most of us know. We are hard pressed on every side. Paul is going through some tough times. We are hard pressed on every side. He's not denying it, but he's taking a different perspective on it. We are hard-pressed, but you know what? We are not crushed. We are perplexed. We don't understand what's going on. We don't know why God is taking so long. I don't know why this person didn't get healed. I don't know why that happened. I'm perplexed, but you know what? I'm not in despair. I'm appreciating what's happening around me, and I'm taking a different perspective on things. We are persecuted, Paul said. But you know what? I'm not abandoned. God is with me. We are struck down. But you know what? We are not destroyed. I'll rise again. We are not destroyed. So Paul is not like burying his head in the sand and saying nothing is happening. No, we're going through some tough times. But I can take the perspective and say, you know what? But I'm not destroyed. I'm not in despair. I'm not crushed. I'm rising again in the Lord. I'm going to appreciate that God is with me and he will take me through. Like the Hebrew boy is going into the midst of the fire. Don't you understand? We sing about it all the time. In the midst of the fire, there's somebody else there with you and with me in the midst of the fire. He said to them in Isaiah 43, "Though you walk through waters, you shall not be burned. You shall not overflow you. Through the fire you shall not be burned." Why? Because I, the Lord, am with you. Are you kidding me? If God is with me, then I can start to rejoice right here, right now. You think those Hebrew boys were in the furnace? They're like, well, what happens if it starts to burn us now? I think they were rejoicing in the midst of that fire, giving God glory. We're talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Pathways to rejoicing. In the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the hardships. The Lord is there. Paul said in verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure of the very presence of God, the Spirit of God living inside of us. What? I can start to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. The Spirit inside of me crying out, Abba Father, leading me into worship. You know, we don't... Oh, help us. We don't like to talk much about slavery. But you know what allowed the slaves and the people who were released from slavery to survive? It was known that God was with them. And they sang all of these Negro spiritual songs. This song, Amazing Grace, became popular because of those people in the South. I was just reading about, you know, John Newton who wrote it. John Newton was a former slave captain, slave trader. Got saved and eventually left that and felt a call into ministry. And was serving the Lord, and in ministry, that's when he wrote that song, Amazing Grace. But it wasn't very popular. It was later on in years it became popular. And it was a song that these ex-slaves would hold on to. Know that in the midst of whatever they're going through, God is with them. And I'm saying to us saints, no matter what you go through, there's a God who is with you, who will take you through. So you can start to rejoice. You can start to sing the songs of Zion. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. The Apostle Paul and Silas, we all know it. There they are in prison. Philippian jail in the middle of the night. Having been beaten and flogged because they set a little slave girl free. And what was their response in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their difficulty? They could easily have sat down. They could easily have got into a pity party. Oh me, why this happened to me? All I was trying to do was to be faithful to God, and look at how mean these people are. And people can be so mean and so vicious. But they dragged themselves up with blood still all over them and worshiped the Lord in the middle of the night, in the middle of their circumstances. They found a place to rejoice in the Lord. And friends, because they found a place to rejoice in the Lord, friends, their joy, their worship, God responded to it, and it impacted the lives of all of those prisoners, including the jailer himself. I don't know if you understand that. That the way you and I go through our difficulties and our trials can bring other people into freedom. Can cause other people to understand that there is indeed a God who's out there. We don't look to the world to tell us how to respond to difficulties. No, we look to the Word of God and we say, oh, thank you, Lord, that there's a pattern there, that you have called us to rejoice in you always. But you don't understand that this politician is doing that. You don't understand that this is happening over here. Yes, I understand, but you know what? God has called me to rejoice in him and to rejoice in him always, to give him praise. Yes, it's rough. We're perplexed. We're hard-pressed. But we're not crushed. We're not in despair. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. Something deep inside of me in the old time people used to say, telling me to go on. Yeah. The Spirit of God saying, open your mouth and bless me. The Spirit of the Lord saying, give me praise because I'm worthy of praise no matter what your external circumstances may say. And who knows, your praise and my praise might indeed change the atmosphere. Rather than the depression and stuff that people are experiencing through COVID, perhaps if we, the church, would start to worship God and give Him thanks, that atmosphere of depression would change. That those thoughts of suicide would no longer become commonplace. Let us stand. Talking about pathways to rejoice in. Celebrating the past. Celebrating what God has done. Celebrating the miracles. Celebrating our salvation. Celebrating God's love and compassion. We're talking about anticipating the future. The fulfillment of God's promises. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We're talking about appreciating the present. And in the midst of what's going on, there's always a way in which God wants us to look at things. And to realize that He's there with us in the midst of the fire. And if He's there with us, then that becomes a place where we can actually start to worship the Lord right there in the midst of the fire. Pathways to rejoice in. Maybe this morning there's somebody here or maybe somebody online. And you're burdened. The writer Peter says to cast all your cares on the Lord. And maybe you have some cares this morning and you're saying, Joe Campbell, would somebody pray with me? Help me to cast these cares on the Lord. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you're standing. A couple of hands there. Help me to cast these cares on the Lord. Just keep your hand up, and I'm going to ask some people just to go and lay hands on those who have their hands up. Help me to cast my cares on the Lord. A couple of folks, just quickly. One other person at the back there. Just pray with them that the peace of God would come as they learn to cast their cares on the Lord. Because He cares for us, that's what Peter says. But He's not going to come and force us to drop our cares. He's like, no, just cast it upon me. Just leave it at my feet. Same God that never fails.
that's never made is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Bless your name.
Let's just sing this song to the Lord.
Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. All my days, yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. For all my days, yes, I will. For all my days, yes, I will.
Father, we thank you this morning that, Lord, you don't call us to do anything that you are not there to help us. Lord, we thank that when you say to us to rejoice in you and to rejoice in you always, that's because your Spirit is here with us to help us. To help us to know how to rejoice. To help us to know how to walk these paths. Lord, and James does say that if any man is in midst of trials, they should ask for wisdom. And so, Lord, I pray for wisdom for those who are going through difficulties right now. That, Lord, you might give them the wisdom that they need to know how to respond and how to deal with each situation. But Father, I pray that in the midst of the situations that they find themselves in, that Father, they will hear your Spirit deep within them saying, lift my name high, worship me, magnify me. Father, I pray, Lord, that you might go with us as we leave this place. Lord, watch over us, deliver us from harm, deliver us from danger. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to look on the storms around us. Lord, help us to be aware that there are storms, but Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Oh, Father, and help us to see the joy that is set before each of us. Lord, the joy of seeing your promises fulfilled, but Lord, even more than that, the joy of seeing Jesus on that day, the joy of hearing the Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, help us, Lord, to live with eternity in mind. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace. And Father, help us as we encounter people, Lord, to share the reasons for our hope to anyone who'd be willing to ask us. So, Lord, go with us. May your Spirit so flow in us and through us that people would be drawn to Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.